Tonight we're going to take a look here in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 13. We're going to expand upon a point here, the point that we left off with last time, right here in verses number 13, 14, and so, and talk about love and talk about a particular man in the Scripture and how we can learn about his coming to understand the Lord's love and what love is, what God's love is. Okay, and as I take a look and consider the Scriptures, as it is with this existence that we have and that we find ourselves in, this life, this world. The future that's laid before us, and as the Lord has described it, that all men will come to judgment. Every man, woman, boy, or girl will stand in judgment one day. Salvation by the Lord and how He saves. You know, in this world, there's two ways, right? There's the Lord's way and the other way. And it seems like it's that way also with this this thing of love. Now, it's not to say that. The love that is of man or amongst mankind, some of it's right and appropriate because it stems from the design of God. But then some of it, man takes things and sin, we in our depravity, things get twisted, don't they? We mess things up. That's natural for us, mankind. So there's this love that's amongst men, and then there's the love of God. And as the children of God, that's the love that we're to manifest. Okay, we're to have all the good attributes of love that are there amongst mankind that can be experienced and that we can partake in amongst mankind. I give you a love, for example, that's right and it's blessed of the Lord. It's relative to the family. It's right for a mother to love their child. Okay, that's right. That's good. And that happens amongst mankind, and it's by the design of the Lord and the family in that. But a woman, a lady that has been saved, can really know how to love the child, can't they? Because not only can they take care of their physical need and care for them physically and growing up, just from the standpoint of that two-person relationship there, the child and the mother, but being saved, they can also show their love for them the most by telling them the truth about their need of salvation. A mother that's not saved can't do that. Okay, you see? Well, that salvation and that love extended to point to Jesus Christ and point to the Lord for the way of salvation, that love only comes from the Lord. That motherly love can be had even by those who are unsaved. Okay, and it can be right, it can be good. But the love that points to Christ, points to salvation, that's only there because of the Lord. And what's it do? It makes the whole situation better, certainly before the Lord. Here in Galatians chapter 5, we look in verse number 13. It says, "For brethren, you've been called into liberty, to freedom." That's what this particular chapter, he's embarked upon this. "Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love. Serve one another." That word love there, and I'm going to give you the Greek references and the numbers, okay? If any of you that's used a concordance, and if you hadn't, and you want to learn how to use a concordance and how you can take a concordance to use it to help you study things out on that, I'll be glad to help you and show you about doing so. But what's been done by those that have made concordances is that they've taken all in the case of the New Testament, all the Greek words that are there, and they've assigned them a number. Okay, and this word here in this verse for love, okay, it comes out in the English as love. It's G26. Okay, I'll give you that. It might be easier to remember that it's G26 than it will be to remember agape. Maybe agape would be easier to remember. Okay, and then it goes on here and it says, "For all the law," verse 14, "for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And that that verse there, the word love, okay, it's G25, okay? And that word is not agape like it is in the previous verse, but it's agapo. It's the root, okay, of which this love, the subject and these words that are rendered love in the King James Bible, the King James English translation that we have, the scripture, the word of God, 26 comes from 25. Agape comes from agapo. Okay, so this in verse number 13, this word love here comes from this word in verse 14. Okay, there's another word that I'm going to go ahead and give you right now because they're sequential. It's G27. Okay. And if I can say it, it's agapetos, agapetos. It's how in the Scripture, we're going to see it tonight as we go and we take a look at this particular man. It's used in reference to someone that is loved, like G25 and G26, like agape and agapo, okay? And so, turn to 1 Corinthians 13. Let's take a look over here. If we say, you know, what is love? Well, the Hallmark chapter that tells us about that, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you're familiar with it. 13th chapter with 13 verses. We're not going to read it. I trust you've read it and you know about it. But here, this word charity, the word charity here is used, okay? And that's how that G26 or agape is rendered here in this particular passage. That prefix, and I don't want to, I'm not trying to impress you with my Greek because I won't be able to do it, okay? That's not the purpose. The purpose is for us to learn about what the Lord has put there in the Scripture, and He's blessed us with tools that we can understand about the Greek language. And so if the Lord's given us that, we can use it. And it'll do, it'll help us. Okay? We don't need to get trained up because we can do it, that's the blessing. What the blessing is that we can see the Lord more. Okay? That's what it's all about. So it's not being able to do it that's impressive or important. What's impressive and important is what it shows us about what the Lord's done more for us. When you talk about a agape, or agapo, that prefix, that A-G, those are spelled, G25 is spelled in the English, A-G-A-P-A-O, that's how it's rendered out in the English. Of G26 is agape, okay, and then agapetos was at G27. It's rendered as beloved. We'll see that here in the future. The latter two, agape and agapetos, come from agapo. And what that AG prefix means in the Greek, it means action. It means moving. It means doing something. Okay? Not just a word that's just been put out, I love you. But it as you've heard me say it before, and as I have come to understand it, the Lord showed me, it's love with legs on it. It's one thing for me to tell you that I love you. It's another thing for me to show you by doing for you. That's just bottom line. Been one thing for the Lord to tell us that He loves us, but don't we know that He does love us by His motion, His moving, His doing for us? Okay? And so I find that interesting that is that way. And it's interesting when you study about these words how language is developed. I'm here later in life with the greater appreciation that I had for it when I was young, and I've lost all that time to try to learn about it, and so I'm playing catch up. I feel that I'm that way, but I enjoy the blessing when the Lord helps and does show those things to us. So see, this love here, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the word is rendered charity. And I think that the Lord has done that on purpose to show that it's just not something that you say with your mouth. But what's this whole chapter talk about? It talks about the doing of love. Okay? So this word charity or love. We can look at it that way. Agape, God's kind of love, is a love that moves. It's a love that does something. And it says here, though men would do, though we would do things physically for the service of the Lord, if it's not because of love and motivated by love and because of the Lord's love for us, you know what it means? It means zero. Nothing. Nothing. If it's not because of love. Love extended toward us. Love extended from us towards the Lord, and love extended to our neighbor. Okay? This word here for this in chapter 13, this word charity, G26, agape love, what it's talking about, if I understand it right, it's talking about an abundance of the root word, G25. It's saying all you can do. Okay? There's no law against these, right? It says, it says here in verse number 8, charity never faileth, but where there are prophecies, they're going to fail. Where there be tongues, they're going to cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. But the things that abide, verse number 13, faith, hope, and charity, these threes, but the greatest of these is this abounding love feast. That's what the word means literally, is a love feast. What it is it's talking about the extending of love and love that'll cause one to do for another without a limit, with no limit. Okay? It's kind of like the fruit of the Spirit. There's no limit to those, is there? You can get the law accomplished in obeying the law. Now, granted, you got to keep on doing it. But if you come up to a measure and maintain that, you've accomplished it. But you know what? With the fruit of the Spirit, what's the Scripture say? There's no limit to them. There's no fulfilling them. There's no limit or law to them. See, this is God's love. This is a showing of how God's love has been extended to us. Self-sacrificing love that's been without limit. Can you say that the Lord has limited His love extended towards you? There's no way we can say that. Well, we can't say that just simply because He gave His Son. If there was nothing else that He did, right? When just giving of His Son was an unlimited extension of love towards us, wasn't it? Yeah. But then, beyond the giving and sacrificing of the Lord Jesus Christ for us, isn't there much more? I mean, not greater than the Lord, but because of the Lord, isn't there more that He bestows upon us and will continue to bestow upon us? Is there an end to it? There's not an end to it, is there? It goes on in this life, and then it'll go on in the life to come, that we'll be able to be there with Him, not be separated from Him. That's what this love in chapter 13 is talking about. That's what this love is. And so these three words that we find in the Scripture, whether you remember them as G25, G26, and G27, or you remember them as agapo, the root, and agape, the love feast, the piling on of agapo, just the continued pursuit of agapo, and then this agapetos, which is our reference to someone, the Lord's reference to us. Hasn't He made us accepted in the Beloved? See, the Lord has done that for us. And see, that's that agapetos. He's made it. That's how He refers to us. The one I have loved, the Beloved. These three in the Scripture tell us about God's love for us. And so we want to try to make that clear. I hope I haven't made it complicated. And if you've got questions about it, please ask. Next, we want to take a look at the other kind of love that's manifested or shown forth in the Scriptures, and that's these words that come through. I'll not try to tell you more than a couple of these, but the root of them is the word Phil, P-H-I-L. And so it's kind of interesting because we know the words, the names of Philip and Phyllis, Phil for short. And sometimes we look into the meanings of our names and stuff like that. Well, all these words, there's some 15 of them in the scripture, all starting with this root Phil, have to do with the love that is manifested amongst mankind. And you know what? It doesn't speak to us, it seems, it doesn't speak to us the way the love of the Lord, those other three words that I mentioned, speak to us. It speaks more about friendship. Yeah, kinship can be there. And one of those words for that love of a mother is manifested in the amongst these 15 words. But the love of the Lord is all-encompassing, isn't it? Whereas if we take one aspect of the, of these loves that are manifested amongst men, these that start with P-H-I-L, the prefix P-H-I-L or Phil, they have limit because they're limited in us. And the thing is then we have the issue amongst us as being fickle. Isn't mankind fickle? We are. We'll change our mind. That's what that means. We might be pro it one day and then again it another day. And so these 15 words that we find in the scripture that describe seemingly man's love, some of it good and some of it right and appropriate, but seem to have a limit there and speak really more in the total summation of them all, speak more of friendship, fondness. Yeah, I like you. I don't dislike you. Might I do something for you if it suits me? Maybe. Maybe I would, maybe I wouldn't. Now, it's interesting. You remember the city of brotherly love, right? Philadelphia, right? It comes from the Greek word Philadelphia. I find that interesting. And it's talking about brotherly love. Of course, Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love. It has been told, and there is a love of brethren that's there. But it's different than God's love. You know, God's love is eternal, isn't it? Is there anything that's going to bring God's love to an end? But man's love will cease one day, won't it? Because it's here on this earth, and the way things are on this earth are not going to be the way things are going to be for eternity, are they? It's not going to be this way. It's not always going to be this way. Now, we have a taste of heaven here, and when we meet together in the Lord's house, with the Lord's house to worship the Lord, but our lives are not going to be in with the Lord. When we're with the Lord, they're not going to be like they are now, are they? And so these relationships and all this that we have and the way we have them is going to cease. Let's take a look at a man here that really, really was challenged in this and from which we can learn. Okay, turn to John chapter 21. Turn to John chapter 21, and I trust maybe you know the account that's here. The Lord Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. He's in this process of meeting with the disciples. This is the third time that he's going to meet with the apostles, some of the apostles here, and reveal himself unto them. They're up in Galilee. They've gone back to work fishing, it seems like. We take it to be there on Gennesaret. And in John chapter 21, verse number 14, this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, because the Lord had he prepared fish on the fire, hadn't he? Peter says, I go fishing. Six others went with him. Five or six others went with him. And they said, yeah, we're comfortable with that too. We want to go back to work too. And so they fished all night. Didn't hit a lick, did they? And then the Lord saw him in the morning. You remember, I love that, what the Lord says to him. These are grown men. These are grown men, rough as a cob. I mean, they're fishermen. They've been fishermen all their life. He says to them, children, have you any meat? His love for them. He loves them. He has given the word to Mary Magdalene to tell my brethren that I'm going to meet with them. Go back and tell my brethren that I've risen from the dead. He told them before he died, he says, I'm not calling you servants. I'm calling you friends because I haven't held back on a thing that the Father's given me to do. And he says, children, have you any meat? And said, well, we hadn't caught a thing. And he says, throw the net on the other side. And John realizes it's the Lord. Peter jumps out of the boat. They take that net in. And it's got more fish than they've ever pulled in one single haul. And I guarantee you they're big fish too. And the thing is when they get up there to the shore dragging the net, the Lord's already got fish prepared. Peter's learned, they're all learning a lesson about provision, I believe, that's there. But then Peter's going to learn another lesson. Because he's had a thing in his life that's been discouraging to him. And he's had a thing in his life that he's allowed it to get him down. It's taken his eyes off the Lord. And so here, in verse number 15, so when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? That's G25, that love there. It's agapo. It's talking about God's love. It's talking about love that will cause you to do something. Talking about self-sacrifice and love. It's talking about loving the way God loves. That's what he's asking. Do you love me? In a sense, the way I love you, Peter, do you love me more than this fishing, and necessarily being around your buddies, although they're all disciples, that old way of life? You love me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. You know what his response is? His response is not the love of God. His response is philo. Yeah, I'm your friend. I like you. I'm fond of you. That's not what the Lord's asking, has it? I think what Peter's in a situation, or I wonder, Peter's in a situation that he's committed himself before and he's failed. And he doesn't want to commit himself to anything that he can't go ahead and make sure that he can do. Because what Peter's looking to do is he's looking to operate with Peter's strength. He says, I'm fond of you, Lord. I'm your friend. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. That's not a suggestion. It's what he tells him to do. That's what I want you to do, Peter, is I want you to feed the young ones, the little ones coming up in the faith. I want you to feed the lambs. Because Peter, in a few days at Pentecost, there's going to be a whole wad of them. Amen? 3,000. Amen? And then a little bit more, there's going to be another 5,000. And then after that, there's going to be more. There's going to be a lot of lambs to feed, Peter. And I want you to feed them. I'm telling you to feed them. Verse 16, he saith unto him the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? You love me with agape love, Peter? God's kind of love, the kind of love I love you with? Remember that issue in Peter's life? Has the Lord forgiven him? Sure he has. He's forgiven him. He's forgiven him. You love me the way I love you, Peter? What's his answer? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. It's that filio love again. That fondness, just that friend. It's not God lay. It's not God love. It's not agape love or agapo love, rather. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. I want you to feed the older ones too, Peter. Because there's some older ones that need fed too. They're not lambs. They're sheep. And I want you to feed them. There's going to be a bunch of them to feed. I want you to feed them. He saith unto him, verse 17, the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, Lovest thou me? You know what the Lord uses there? He doesn't use G25. He doesn't use agapo. He uses philia. You my friend, Peter? Are you my friend? Are you fond of me? Maybe today will be okay. Maybe tomorrow it won't be. Peter, is that all you want me to be to you? As a friend? Do you want me to love you that way? Look what the Scripture says, and this is the reason that it says it. Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest, Philio, are you my friend? Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And he sticks with that Philio of being a friend. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Aren't you glad that the Lord is long-suffering with us? Sometimes I don't learn lessons fast. Many times. Probably all the time when it gets down to it. And praise the Lord, He's long-suffering and He'll take His time, won't He? Oh, may God help us that that doesn't cause us to get bold about our disobedience. Not to presume upon the Lord's long-suffering. Sometimes we've got to say, Lord, I don't know what You're looking to teach me, but help me to see what it is. Because I want to get past this piece of my life because it hurts. As an example, you know. Things that are difficult, things that come along. We know when the Lord's chastising us, don't we? We do. The Spirit of God lives within. He speaks to us. The Lord shows us that. He says, I'm your friend, Lord. He goes on to tells him, he says, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, it's very, very important, Peter, listen to it. When thou wast young, you girded yourself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This he spake, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned upon his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? John's talking about himself. Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? You're going to require that of me. What about John? What are you going to have him do? I tell you what, brothers and sisters, may God help us. Don't hang your service on your brother and sister's service. God may have a blessing in store for you that you can't even comprehend. I venture to say that He does. But if you want to do the comparisons, what about them, Lord? What about brother so-and-so? What about sister so-and-so? You don't have any idea what God's got in store for brother or sister so-and-so. Because the way things look may not be the way they turn out. And the calling of God upon each one of us individually and what He has for us to do is according to His purpose and His plan, and there's no better place to be than in the center of it. Because that's what He's got for you and me. So don't worry about your brother and your sister and what's going on with them. I mean, from the standpoint of coveting what you think is better about their service than yours. But pray that God will help you and give you strength and help to do yours well. Because you know what? The blessing is according to what God wants to give you and God's purpose in to give us and do for us and call us to. And if we pursue anything else other than that, you know what we're doing? We're heading for trouble. Heading for trouble. What about John, Lord? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry, do I come. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. The eyes are here, Peter. The Lord pointing to himself. Your eyes are to be on me, Peter. Nobody else. Don't worry about John. I'll take care of John, and I'm taking care of you. What's Peter's hang up here? What's his problem? This is the third time that the Lord's appeared. We know that he appeared to him on that first Sunday, right? When the Lord rose from the dead. That's number one. We know that the next week, that next Sunday, was the second time, right? And then from that time there, and remember, 40 days are ticking off, aren't they? Where the Lord is meeting with them and coming and going with them, right? Remember that from Acts chapter 1. And then they have since left Jerusalem and come up to Galilee. And this is the third time that the Lord's appeared. And so they haven't got back down to Jerusalem for Pentecost. And then they haven't got serious into the teaching that the Lord's going to be teaching them over the course of that 40 days. Okay? So this is on the front end of Peter getting used to what all's happened and the Lord working in him that he might believe. Turn to Luke chapter 22. What is it that happened to Peter? What discouraged him? Well, I don't know this for sure, but I know if I take myself and put myself in this situation, it would certainly be the case. So we venture that this is it. Certainly part of it. Here, before the Lord's death, his crucifixion, in Luke chapter 22, verse number 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. You know what? You know how Satan's going to do that? He's not going to do that from the inside because there's no room for him on the inside of Peter. Because the Spirit of God lives there. But he's going to use those on the outside to throw doubt and derision and difficulty and reproach and run Peter through the grinder. Satan's wanting to find out what you're made out of, Peter. Because he knows your big mouth. He knows your sharp words. He knows your rashness. None of those are fruit of the Spirit, are they? They're not. But you know what? Praise the Lord for what he said to him here. What did he say? Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. He's not talking about him being saved. And he's talking about that event in his life that's going to come to pass that the Lord knows about. That's going to take Peter and it's going to take him. It's not a second blessing. It's not the finishing of his salvation. It's none of the stuff like that. But it's just when it's that event and that testing in Peter's life that it's going to get solid that the Lord's, this is it. There's no turning back, no provision for the fallback provision. This is what I'm doing. This is where I'm going. This is who I'm following. This is where I'm heading. This is it. So when you're converted, strengthen the brethren, because there are going to be plenty of them to strengthen. And he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. We skip on down to verse 54. Luke 22, verse 54. Boy, it comes quick, doesn't it? He says, I'm solid, I'm good, I'm with you to death, I'll go to prison with you. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. He gets up there in Gethsemane and everything changed, didn't it? Because Peter was operating in his own strength. And it was the determinate counsel of the Lord that the Lord would be by himself in his sufferings. And so there wasn't provision for Peter to be faithful. I mean, is that an error or wrong with God? No, it's not. See how we need the Lord? We do. We do. Can we lay it at the Lord's feet? We cannot. Okay? We're not dealing with another man when we're dealing with God. Nevertheless, here in verse 54, Then they took him and led him, that is the Lord, and brought him to the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. He said, I didn't know it was going to be like this. I didn't know it was going to be this bad. I didn't know it was going to be this tough. I didn't know it was going to be this way. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, were sat down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him, with Christ. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. I don't know him. What are you talking about? I don't know him. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. Not me, woman. Not me, man. I don't know him. And about the space of 1 hour after another, confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Oh, he was sorry that he couldn't stand up to what he said he was going to do. Now, this is not some sissy man. This man's rough and tough. This man would be ready to fight and could do it. Knows how to run a knife. Been cutting up fish all his life. He went out and wept bitterly. He let his Lord down. Because what he tried to do is he tried to do it on his own. And so then we come back up there to Galilee where we read in John chapter 21. And Peter says, I can't love you that much, Lord. I'm afraid to love you that much. I'm afraid to commit to that much, lest I fail again. But you know what? During the balance of those days and how the Lord worked with them there and the Lord showed them that provision, the Lord told Peter, the Lord didn't give up on Peter, did he? Praise the Lord. He didn't give up on him. He has a plan for him. He knows he's flesh. He's bringing him along. The man that said, yeah, you're my friend, I'm your friend. When we go over to 1 Peter, we see a different man, don't we? We saw a different man at Pentecost. But in these epistles of Peter, we see a man, evidence of a man that's been changed. A man that there in the presence of the Lord, when he'd worked yet another miracle, when he was knows he was looking at the resurrected Christ, he's looking at him face to face. He'd already seen him two other times. He's alive. He's been down there in Jerusalem. Now he's up here in Galilee. He sees what he does. He knows it's the Lord. I know how you love me, Lord. But I just can't go that far. But the Lord brought him along, didn't he? And he was bold on the day of Pentecost. And now listen how he refers to the love of the Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 1, we'll just read these verses. Peter writes long sentences. In 1 Peter chapter 1, let's pick it up in verse 6. Wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if indeed be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That's a trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found to the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. What's that sound like? So I've been through it before. Said, the Lord brought me through, you will too. Be faithful to me. He's a different man, isn't he? And look at this. Whom having not seen, ye love. You know what word that is? It's not philo. It's not that word. But it's that G25, that agapo. That godly love. You seek to love the Lord the way He loves you. That's your desire. That's your pursuit. And that's the way He says, Ye love him, we love him, and having not seen, ye love. He says, I've seen him. You haven't seen him, but you love him. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And chapter here in chapter 1 and verse number 22, seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth of the Spirit unto the unfeigned love of the brethren. Well, you know what that one there is, that Philadelphia love, that brotherly love. But see, he doesn't stop there, does he? What's he say? He says, go on and make that of a godly sort. He says, through the Spirit, unto the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love. That's G25. That's a agape love, godly love. He says, go on from that brotherly love that you have and go on and love one another the way God loves you. Take it on to that. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. He goes on in chapter 2. And what's he write here in chapter 2 as he writes to us, as he writes to the saints that have been blessed to have these epistles over the millennia and the centuries? He says here in chapter 2 of this book, coming down here to verse number 11, he says, dearly beloved. So that's at G27. Agapetos. It says, the Lord loves you. I love you. I know you love me. You're beloved of the Father. We're beloved of the Father. And I love you that way too. We find that Peter is all the way in his ministry. He goes from Antioch to Babylon. And the Scripture tells us that, don't we? We see him from Jerusalem to over at Joppa, and over to Caesarea, all the way up to Antioch, all the way over to Babylon. He's been busy about feeding the lambs, hadn't he? He's been busy about feeding the sheep. Because he loves the Lord. And then the Lord's love has been manifested and strengthened in him. And he encourages us. He says, I love you with that godly love. In verse number 17 of chapter 2, we see it again. Honor all men. He says, love the brotherhood. That G27, agapetos, godly love one for another. This man has changed his tune, hadn't he? He has. In 1 Peter chapter 3, it says in verse number 8, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. He says here, love as brethren. This is that one of those, it's Philadelphos. It is that fraternal love. But he goes on here, and in verse number 9 we read, not rendering evil for evil, not railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life. Here his reference is the agapetos, that beloved again, that beloved. The G25, the agape love. Godly love. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile or no deceit. See, he comes back to that love of the Lord continually as he's writing to these, writes to us and writes to all those that have read these epistles. In chapter 4, again, in verse number 12, we see, beloved, think not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. I've had fiery trials, and they've helped me. They've drawn me closer to the Lord, and they will you too. They'll strengthen that love. The Lord will show you His love in those things, and He'll give you His love in that, and you'll be strengthened in it. I know, I've been there. He says, don't think it's a strange thing. He says, don't think. Think not strange concerning the fire trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy." This man's tune's changed, hadn't it? He's been blessed of the Lord in this, and the love of the Lord is revealed in him. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 17, 2 Peter chapter 1, Second Peter chapter 1, verse number 17. "For you received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Here, speaking about the Father calling the Son beloved with that godly love, that G27 that we mentioned about, that agapetos, one of those three that manifest the great continuing love of God. In chapter 2 of this book, we see in verse number 15, here talking about Balaam. He says here, "which have forsaken," talking about those that are going against the Lord and His way and the truth and the judgment of God, "which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness." You know, there he uses that word, agape. Agapo, he says that Balaam loved the wages that Balak could pay him, that Moab could pay him. He loved that instead of loving the Lord. He took the love that he should have had for the Lord and that is for the Lord and for the Lord alone and for the brethren, and he put it on stuff. And it'll tell you in the book of Numbers it cost him his life. Because the Lord wasn't going to let a priest have a testimony like that. And then we go on here in chapter 3 as his reference, as he's signing off. Look at his speech and look how he refers to them. He's not a man that's saying, "What's this man going to do? What's this man going to do? What's this man going to do?" But in chapter 3, what's he say? As he's signing off, does he love those that he writes to? Verse number 1, the second epistle, beloved. At G27, agapetos. In verse number 8, the beloved, there it is again. In verse number 14, wherefore, beloved, that godly love, he loves them with that great love and desire for good things from God. And then their service to the Lord, for them to be faithful and stand. Verse 15, "and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul." Remember, part of Peter's instruction and correction was that the apostle Paul had to rebuke him publicly for going off with the Jews, with dissimulating with the Jews when they came up there to Antioch. Remember how we dealt with that? They came up there from the church of Jerusalem, and when they showed up, Peter and Barnabas, they couldn't handle it. They separated themselves from the Gentiles and went over there and sat with the Jews. And Paul had to call him on the carpet. And the Lord used that to help him, didn't it? And is he bitter about it? No. "Even as our beloved brother Paul also." We see in verse number 17, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away of the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." He says, be steadfast in the Lord. Be steadfast in the love of the Lord. And God's love. And self-sacrifice and love, as the Lord has had for us. That Christ in that, in His love, be our example that we follow. Not the love of men, but the love of God. Over there in Galatians, he says, don't use your liberty to serve the flesh, but use that liberty to serve and love one another. May God help us in that at Olmsted Baptist Church. Amen. And in this new year, that we, in that godly love, that we serve and love one another. Seek how we may be a help, a self-sacrificing love, one to another, And be willing, if we don't know what we can do, that we would share what can be done and that we can pick it up and do it, whatever it is. And it goes on to say, because it says, the scripture says, thou shalt love. That's that godly love, thy neighbor as thyself. Listen, if we're to love the sinner, we're sure to love one another. Amen. And may the Lord help us in that.